Open your Bibles with me to Ephesians, the second chapter. One day the Lord's going to let me preach through Ephesians, one of my favorite books. I just love what Paul, it's just like the whole book is just like an anthem of praise unto God, the whole book. And all I can do is just give you a little part of it today. I want you to start reading with me in Ephesians 2, verse 1. We're going to read through verse 10. I can't leave out any of these verses. Ready? And you hath he quickened or made alive, that's what that means, come to life, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Now I want you to focus later on, keep that phrase, dead in trespasses and sins. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also you had our conversation. That means our life. We lived this way. In times past, in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath. In other words, we were set for judgment of God. That's what that means. Even as others. But now look, here's where it gets good. Amen. Hold on. Buckle up. But God, who is rich. I knew this was going to be hard to get through for me. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love where he has loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us. That's a point in time. Together with Christ, by grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Did you see that twice there? He says together, together, together. Three times, actually. He quickened us together. He's raised us up together, and we're to sit together. If you have problems with people here, what are you going to do when you get to glory? Amen. He wants us to know that we can have that sweet, heavenly, gracious fellowship here and now. We don't have to wait to heaven to get it. Verse 7, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse 10, and through all of grace and gifts, this is what comes out of it. Verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You understand the good works comes after grace are you saved. You understand that? Good works does not come before, it comes after. Because what can a dead man do that can please God? Now I'm going to tell you some things that Baptists, I want to tell you that it goes all the way back to what we are as Baptists. When the Southern Seminary was founded by Broadus and others, They held these doctrines to be close to the heart and to be true. That man is completely, listen now, some things you may not like to hear, and some things may be hard to hear, and you may not even know if you've heard them before in a long time. But we are consumed. Man is born and consumed by sin. You do not become a sinner when you sin your first time. You were born a sinner, and the first sin that you can, quote, say you've ever done is because of who we are by nature. It is not that sin makes us sinners. We sin because we are sinners. There's the difference. We're dead in trespasses and sin. The idea of deadness means that there is nothing in us that desires anything that is holy and like God. It separates us. It keeps us away. We cannot even see who our own nature. We are blind to our own nature. The Bible says we're dead in trespasses and sin. The Bible says we are blind. We don't know where we're going. We don't know where we're going to end up. We don't understand it. And it says in the Bible that it says our heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. I was talking to a guy the other day, and he says, I don't deserve to go to hell. I'm not like one of those other sinners. I don't do a whole lot of wrong things. And I'm just sitting there literally looking at you like I'm looking at him, my mouth open, you know, like. And you know, but the thing is that sinners really believe that. I believe that. Did you believe that? Did you believe that you weren't really that bad to go to hell? Come on now. Don't look at me so pious. Sure we did. We all thought that, hey, why would God want to send me to hell? I'm not that kind of a bad person. I'm not like a Hitler. I'm not like a Mussolini. I'm not like a Mao Zedong. I'm not like Stalin. I'm not like any of those people. I'm not like the drunkard that would abuse his family and waste his funds and beat his family up and all this. I'm not like those. I'm not like a murderer. Beloved, let me tell you, there's a lot of sweet little grandmothers going to die in their sin and go to hell because they never met Jesus because they're so proud to think that they are sinners. You see, the thing is that the greatest of all the sins is not what I mentioned. The greatest of all the sin is the pride in the heart. You get that? Say amen. That's what it is. It's the pride in man's heart. Do you understand? Listen, let me go all the way back to the evil one, the devil. It wasn't the evil things that he did that kicked him out. The cause of his getting kicked out was the pride in his heart, beloved, you see. It was the pride in his heart. When he says, read Isaiah the 14th chapter sometime, when it says, I will ascend and be like God. I will set my throne above God himself. I will rule all of heaven and earth because I can be greater than God. Pride, pride, pride. That's what sends people to hell. That is the core of all sin. And that's what Paul, he doesn't mention the pride, but that's what it is. It's the very nature. And until we understand the very nature of who we are, we will not understand why we need grace to be saved. Because we'll all think, or men today, men and women will think, I don't need to do it that way. I don't need to go by the way of the cross. I'm really, in my heart, I'm a good person. The Bible says nothing of that. It said the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Now that's what the Bible says. I didn't write it. I just preach it. Amen? And that's what it says. And listen, you will never be an effective soul winner until you get that truth in your mind. That all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, like it says in Romans. Amen? How many have sinned? Say it. Church, how many have sinned? That includes you. That includes me. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the only way we're going to get into heaven is we got... Listen. When I talk to folks and they say, I'm not that bad an individual, I say, okay, I appreciate that. I appreciate you telling me this. And I try to be very respectful, very polite and all this. Now, I don't want to be rude. But I say this. Let me give you one acid test that you must pass. He says, okay, give it the test. Are you as good as Jesus? Is anyone in here good as Jesus? Well, there ought to be some hands going up. No, I'm serious. There ought to be some hands going up. My hand's going up. I'm as good as Jesus. He said, preacher, you're blaspheming now. No. Let me tell you why. Listen now, before you run me out on a rail. When you're talking to a lost sinner, and they think that they're going to heaven because of the good works. I ask them that question. Are you as good as Christ? And they say, well, no, who is? Right? Who's as good as Jesus? Well, nobody can be as good as Jesus. Well, that's the only way you're going to get to heaven. Because now then, here we go with what I was trying to say. Now, when I come to the cross, when you come to the cross and you confess your sins, and by faith you ask Christ to come into your heart and life to be your Savior. Here it comes now. Listen up now. Here it comes. God the Father takes the righteousness of Christ who is perfected, amen, and places it to your account. His righteousness, amen, say amen, is on me. When God the Father sees me, he sees the righteousness of his Son who bought and paid for every one of my sins and put them away from me to never be charged again against me. He put that away and put his righteousness on me. We call that imputation. He has imputed his righteousness on my account.
Amen.
Because if it were me, if it were up to me to try to get into heaven by doing some good things, I'd be a loss as a snowball in hell. Doomed to eternal damnation. That's what would happen to me. And to you. We're dead in trespasses and in sins. And listen now. Out of pure grace, let me give you what that word grace means. It comes from the Greek word charos, which means, listen to this. I love this, is what we were singing about today, where your heart gets all happy and joyful. Listen now, this is what grace is. It comes from the root, which means to rejoice, to be cheerful, and to be happy. That's what the word means. When God gives us grace, it is His joy to do that for us. Amen? He doesn't say it reluctantly. He says, let me pick and choose who I'm going to give my grace to. He says, for all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. But then He also says in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, I will freely give them grace to be saved. Now, I paraphrased a little bit in there, but that's what He did. I will give them grace if they call on My Son to save them. I will give them unmerited favor, because that's what grace means. It means you don't deserve it, but I'm going to give it to you. And it is all because of what Jesus did on that cross for us. Man, I know we're Baptists, but we ought to have a shout once in a while. I mean, when you think of the cross and what Jesus did for you, there ought to be at least even if it's a weak one, there ought to be an amen somewhere. Man, I'm telling you, it's hard for me. I got to keep preaching quickly, because if I stop and meditate on what God's grace has done for me, I will not get through this. I could not get through it. Because I know what I was and where I was headed before the grace of God found me, amen? And He took my heart and He brought me to that place where I had to see the cross and without excuse. You see, a blind man, listen now, a blind man can't find his way to the cross, can he? Can a dead man rise up out of the coffin and say, lead me to the cross? Can that happen? No. So how do they get saved? Because God's grace brings that heart and melts that heart and brings it to the place and opens the eyes so that blind man, that dead man can see this is the way of salvation. And it goes all the way back. Listen, there's a picture of it all the way back into Numbers when people were unthankful and they were unholy and they were griping and grumbling against God and wicked in their hearts. And God says, I'm going to give you a taste of what I'm hearing. What's coming out of your mouth to me, I'm going to give you a taste. And He sent snakes among them, and they bit the people, and the multitudes began to die. And then, just like normal human beings, right, then we call on God and say, God, save us. And Moses was told, you go and make a brazen serpent. You put a serpent up on a pole. And he says, anyone who does what? Goes up and looks at it, sends a free will offering, goes up and bows three times and says three amens. No. He says, anyone who looks at it. Did you hear that? Anyone who, what? Looks at it. And who provided for it? God did. Who told them how to make it? God did. What was the pole fashioned like? Like their sin. What did Jesus be when He died on the cross for us? He became sin for us, that whoever looks upon Him by faith shall be saved. Whoever looked on the snake on the pole, which was representative of their sin, was saved. Now, how do they get saved? If you're sick and you're on your deathbed and the poison is coursing through your bodies and your legs are swelling by like this, by just centimeters by the minute, and you can't walk, how are you going to get to that pole to look at it? Somebody had to take you. How lost people get saved? Somebody has to bring them. You don't do it, it may not be done. Grace. God gives us grace The one who took upon himself all the punishment we deserve. He fulfilled all the law within for us. I could not fulfill the law. You know why? Because I've broken most of them. And I couldn't repay for the law that I had broken. How can I then, when I've had a murderous thought, how can I repay that? If somebody took the life of one of your children and then asked your forgiveness. Now, you may grant forgiveness. That is very possible. You could do that. But could they repay you for the loss of your child? No. They couldn't do it. I cannot ever repay God. Even now, I can't repay him. Even though I'm saved, I can't go back and repay him for what he has done for me and what I initially have done against him. Grace is taking care of that. Grace took it away. Grace provided the Son. Grace provided the blood. Grace provided the cross. Grace provides a way for each of us to come to that cross and have no excuse. Did you know that? God even enables it that you can have no excuse when you come to the cross. You can't come and say, well, I'm not good enough. Because you see Jesus who was good enough. You can't say, I'm not worthy. You look at Jesus who was worthy. You can't say, I'm not fitting. You look at the one who has made it all possible. You can't say that I've got too many sins. Because that, in a sense, is blasphemy. You're saying the blood of Jesus isn't good enough to take away all your sins. You're saying I can sin better than Jesus can die to save me. That's blasphemy. Jesus can take away every sin. Amen. So you have no excuse. Nobody has an excuse to come to the cross and be saved. The only reason they won't, let me give it back to you again where I started from before. You know the reason people won't get saved, even when they can see the cross him, even when they can see the blood dripping from him, you know why they still won't get saved? Pride. I had a man say the other day, he says, I'll just go to hell and be with all my family. If they're not in heaven, I don't want to go either. I'll just go and be with them. Pride. I can't see myself. I've heard people tell me this. They have told me this. I ain't going to bow to anybody. Oh, yes. One day, amen. Y'all know the scripture in Philippians 2, don't you? One day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to glory God the Father. Everyone. Now we will willingly, joyfully do that. But the sinner will come, the unclaimed will come, the condemned will come, the eternal judge will come, and even Satan himself will have to bow the knee before Jesus Christ and say, you are Lord. Man, grace, God's grace. Number one on your outline, through God's covenant, he bestows grace. He gives his favor to you. In Romans 3:24, it says, being justified, I like this part, being justified freely. Now, it wasn't free for God. It is freely given to you and me. Grace cost more than we could ever imagine. We don't know all that happened to Jesus on that cross. We don't know. We can't. We can never imagine. Can you imagine? There's sometimes when my beautiful wife will be sitting there. We'll watch a TV, and something will come up. You know, one of those filthy advertisements on TV. You know, and she says, "Honey, get rid of that. Change the channel." She can't even watch the commercial about it. Can you imagine those who try to get into God by coming in their own works and offering all of the filth of the hands and saying, accept this? No. But Jesus, listen now. That holy, blessed, precious Son, Jesus,
without knowing one sin, without knowing one wicked thought, went to the cross in our place. And God the Father, in His judgment upon sinners, looked on His own Son, and for that brief moment of time, He put His wrathful hand upon His own Son to burn up every sin that we ever committed, because Jesus became sin in our place. Everything. Is it any wonder when He was on the cross, He says, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? When the heavens turned dark and the wrath of God was poured out on His own precious beloved for you. For you. He did it. How can we therefore not come freely once we're saved and we have received the grace of God and we placed our faith in Him? How come we cannot come then freely before Him and say, oh God, how merciful and gracious You've been to me. What will Thou have me to do? Take my life, every inch of it, every part of it, and Lord, may I be surrendered totally for You, because I cannot tell You much. My words cannot express how grateful I am for what You've done for me, but let my life show it. Let my life match what my heart is speaking, that I give to You out of gratitude, a life for Your glory. How can we not do that? Isn't it amazing? Let me give you the example. It is freely given to us. By grace you're saved through faith. Listen, beloved, do you know you can't even have faith without the grace of God? Do you know that? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And who gave us the Word of God? He did. God's Word opens the heart, opens those blind eyes, so that you can see what God is offering. Now you say, where does man's will come in? After God has removed all the obstacles, after God has opened the eyes of the blind, after God has brought you to the place where you can come in the deadness of our life, and we can see what the cross means, and we can come and stand there, where does man's will come in? Where do you come? When God even gives you the ability to have faith, because you've heard that Jesus saves, and Jesus will save whoever will come, and you believe that when you ask. At the very moment of the asking is where your will is involved. But God does everything else. Do you get that? So the only thing that I have is that moment in time when by faith I say, Jesus, be mine. That's it. And God brings me even to that. If He doesn't, I couldn't. Because the pride of my heart, and I know this, the pride of my heart would continue to want to come between me and the cross and the mercy of God. Because I keep thinking, well, if I come to God, I got to give up everything, don't I? If I come to God, He's going to want me to do stuff. If I come to God, then I need to go to church. If I come to God, I ought to pray more. If I come to God, then I got to do all this Bible study. But listen, beloved, that's before the salvation. But once you are truly born again, everything I've just said is, yay, Lord, let's do it. I could have cared less before I was saved what this book said. I could have cared less. Pray? Are you kidding me? Witness? I don't care if you go to hell. I could have cared less. You say, that's kind of rough, preacher. I remember a guy in the Marine Corps was witnessing to me. back in the 1970s. And he was a believer. Now, he didn't hammer everything every day, you know. He just lived his faith. He invited me to church. And then, boy, as soon as he invited me to church, I labeled him. Y'all ever done that? Amen? I labeled him. And one day we were working in the office. You remember those old great big old army heavy clocks? You know, those great big military things they used to hang with glass, the glass closure? It was hanging right up over him. And somebody came in, and, you know, one of those old flimsy doors, he opened the door, and that thing vibrated, and it came off the wall and hit him right in the head and opened his head up. And I was sitting in there. This is how wicked I was. I'm telling you, I'm not proud of it. I was sitting over there looking at that, and they were taking him out to the doctor, and he's holding his hand, blood coming everywhere, and I says, "Where's your God now, buddy?" Pride. Wickedness. Evil. Until Jesus answered his prayers and I got saved. I may never see that guy again in heaven, the side of heaven. But that's one of the people I want to see when I get to glory. Because I know that man prayed for me to be saved. I know he did. I can't even recall his name. But I want to see him. And I know that I will sit together with him. I know that I will fellowship with him around the throne. And I will see him again. And I want to give him a great big bear hug and say, "Thank you, man. How's your head, by the way?" It's all healed, brother. It's all healed. See, the wickedness of the heart, the pride of deceitfulness, the pride of evil that makes us do whatever we so desire, that's what it is. Grace comes in, though, you see. Grace, the mighty grace of God, the covenant work of God's grace. And he says, "I can take care of that." And then when he comes in and you say, "I will," to the Father, and you say, "Jesus, be my Savior and take all of that evil away from me and all my sin," and he comes into my heart and he comes into my life, and the next thing you know, where's the book? Where's the book? Because I don't know much about that book, but I do know one thing. That's the only place I can find out more about my Savior. It's in that book. Give me the book. Give me the book. Whew. And you know, when I'm reading that book, then I start doing something else, don't I? I start talking to the Lord about what I just read in the book. They call that prayer. And then when I read more, then it says, you know, I read through Acts and I say, well, you know, those people that got saved, they were telling other people about Jesus. Maybe I need to do that. So I started talking to my fellow Marines about Jesus. They thought I was crazy. They did. So Staff Sergeant Pope, man, he's gone off the deep end, man. He got religion. And I tell him, no, I didn't get religion. I found Jesus. And I want you to find Jesus. That other guy didn't preach as much as I preached after I found Jesus. Grace, greater than our sin. Grace that transforms our life. And it is freely given, it says, being justified freely. The word justified, it literally means to be made right. It means it's a legal term. Here's the criminal and all they've done. And here was that criminal beside Jesus that day. There were two, remember? And here was that one over there. And all he did is he looked at how Jesus endured his cross. And something spoke to that criminal's heart. And after he was one of the mockers, too. At first, he was a mocker. Just like the other one. But after he observed the Savior on the cross, and he saw the abuse they were putting on him, he saw the work that God was doing in the heavens, and his fear, even in coming close to death, fear gripped his heart, and he looked on him and he says, "Can you remember me? Will you remember me when you come into your kingdom?" And you talk about giving hope at the last minute. Jesus says, "Today thou shalt will be with me in paradise. Where I'm going, you're going." Amen. Grace. Even in the midst of dying for sinners, Jesus gave grace. Unmerited, favor.
Dietrich Bonhoeffer said something different, though. This grace is amazing. It is transforming. It is life-saving. But Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who died under Hitler's hand in World War II, 1945, because he refused to take up the Nazi banner and become like everybody else, you know, the go-along politics that people do, right? The what do they call it today? The politically correctness. Yeah, even in Hitler's day. Only in those days, if you weren't politically correct, they'd shoot you. But Bonhoeffer said this about the church back in 1940s. Imagine what he would say about it today, I wonder. He called it cheap grace. That's where we found that term, cheap grace. Cheap grace is the grace we bestow on ourselves. It doesn't come from God. We bestow it on ourselves. And this is how we do it. Cheap grace is the preaching of forgiveness without requiring repentance. Baptism without church discipline. Communion or the Lord's Supper without confession. Cheap grace is grace without discipleship. Grace without the cross. Grace without Jesus Christ living incarnate in our lives. But then he said this, costly grace, the opposite, is the kingly rule of Christ, for whose sake a man will pluck out the eye which causes him to stumble. It is the call of Jesus Christ in which the disciple leaves all he has to follow the Savior. That's what you understand when you understand what it costs for God to give you grace. Here am I, Lord. Send me. What will thou have me to do? Where would you have me to go? What would you want from my life because of all that you've given to me? What do you want from me? How can I serve you, most precious Lord? What can I give that will bring glory to your name? And you know what the answer usually comes back? Just yourself. Just yourself. Give me yourself and watch what I will do through it. Watch what I will do through that life when you give me yourself. Have you experienced the costly grace of what it costs for your salvation through Jesus on the cross? I pray that you don't have the other cheap grace. Come as you are, leave the same. Never changed, never challenged, never involved, never excited, never motivated about the things of God. Never caring whether a soul goes to heaven or hell. Never asking someone where they would spend eternity. Never giving the offering. Because you made it, you got it, and it's yours, right? How wicked our hearts and minds can be, isn't it? But when you say, Lord, all I have, all I am, all I want is to you to take it all. And when you truly mean that, God takes you at your word with that, and He will begin working in your life in ways you never thought imaginable. But you will never, listen, once you experience it, you will never say, let me go back to where I was. Amen. Did you hear that? Brother Bill, is that right? Never do I want to go back to where I was. Lord, let's keep going. I know I didn't finish all that outline. You just have to come next week and we'll finish it then. If I try to finish it all now, we'll have to cater. Have you experienced the grace of God in salvation? Do you know that you know? Not because of what you've done or who you are, but because of what Jesus has done for you, that you would go to heaven if He were to call you home right now. You know that beyond any shadow of a doubt. And you say, who can know? You can know. 1 John says, these things I've written to you that you may know that you have eternal life. I know I'm saved.
I know that I'm not the same man. Although this man can still do some of the same things, I know I'm not the same man because of grace. Amen? Do you know you're saved? Do you know you'd go to heaven if God calls you today? Don't think about it. Don't hope so. Because remember, grace, it brings you to that cross. Grace opens the eyes. Grace enlarges the heart. Grace gives understanding to the mind that you can understand what God is offering. Pride says no and backs up. There is no guarantee grace will ever be offered another time.